All right, so let's pray, and we'll get rolling, and we'll go from there. So here we go. Father God, Lord, I love you, Lord. I thank you for today. I thank you for the Past Point class, Lord. I thank you for being able to get together last night and just minister together, clean the church, and get it knocked out, Lord. I thank you for the things that are going on this week at the church with the painting and just keeping up your house, Lord. I pray that the work would go well, that that your body is edified through this, Lord, and that at the end, Lord, we know that it's just paint on the walls and nobody really cares, but somebody may come in and the color on the wall may keep them here long enough to hear the gospel. So Lord, I just pray that it is beneficial to your kingdom. Lord, I pray you just speak through me this morning, put me out of the way, Lord. There's a ton to see just in this one little passage, Lord. So I pray that that even just some of the things that you've shown me, I'll be able to just communicate, Lord. So Lord, I pray you just bless your word in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so this isn't going to work. I thought I was going to, there wasn't very many people, I was going to be able to sit. Not happening. So all right. Okay, so Mark asked me last night, he's like, Genesis chapter 10? So, yes, we're going to do Genesis chapter 10 today in about a minute and a half, and we're going to move to chapter 11 where we need to be. So,
after having read, we can get a pass on.
Oh, did you go ahead and take a time to read chapter 10 before you ask for your money's worth on? Okay, so if you'll remember where we were last week in chapter 9, the flood's over, God blesses them, the first covenant's established. We went through all that, so if you missed it, go back and listen to it. We got to keep rolling. So we spent a lot of time at the end of the chapter where Noah's sin kind of overshadows all the good that he did in his life, right? And I can't remember the statement that I had, but anyway, it was just like, you know, a lot of times the bad in your life, the bad things you do in life will overshadow the good things that you did for God. So you have to...
We watched a really good biography on Noah.
Yeah?
Yesterday. As an almighty.
Of course you did.
There are some parts of it that I'm like, okay.
There's a little bit of truth in every lie, Abby. Okay, so yeah, I've seen that movie. So at least parts of it. Heaven Almighty. So anyway, yeah. So anyway, get my mind back where it needs to be. So okay, they get done with that. You see Noah's drunkenness is sin, and you know there's the curse of Canaan. So anyway, you roll into chapter 10, and it's like, holy smokes, what just happened? Because there was a lot of good stuff going on, and now there's like a chapter full of names. So if you really wanted to get into some studying, which I'm not saying that you don't, but I want to keep rolling. Chapter 10, you can really trace the descendants of everybody in the world from these three sons of Noah, right? And if you take the time to look at it, you'll see kind of the parts of the world. You do a little bit of study, and a lot of them ended up in Europe, which would have ended up where we are now because we came from Europe, or some of them ended up in Asia, or, you know, the third one would be down towards the African. So anyway, I'm not going to bore you with all that. There's a lot of names going on. So that's chapter 10, the lineage of Noah's three sons, right? Okay, so that rolls you right into chapter 11, and that's where I want to get there. That's where I want to get, and I really hope that I can at least convey a little bit to you of what God showed me with this week. I listened to a couple sermons on this, and everything that I thought that I knew about the Tower of Babel was wrong. Everything that I thought I understood about why it happened and this, that, and the other, I really didn't. And maybe it's just because I was thinking of it completely wrong, and maybe you guys have it all figured out, but it was really good. So I just hope that a little bit of this comes across. So before we even get going, when you read the story of the Tower of Babel, which I'm sure you guys all have stuff in the way, what's going on there? Okay, they built a tower. So when you're thinking of it in your mind, give me something. I want to know what you guys are thinking when you read it. Are they trying? I mean, give me something. When you read it, what are you thinking? And you don't have to read it right now, but just the story itself, you know. So what's going on here?
Trying to build a tower to God.
Build a tower to God? I mean, is that the mindset that you get when you read that? Because I hope it is, because that's where I was at. And I was like, these guys are going to build a tower clear to heaven. Right? Because that's what it says. Mm-hmm. But that's not really what's going on at all. And it was just totally blew my... I mean, maybe it's like I said, just because I don't understand the Bible like I need to, or don't understand the wickedness of people, of man, the way that I should. But that's not a lot what's going on. So let's just... I'm not even... I am. Let's read the first... let me read the first 9 verses, because this is really where we're going to spend the time, and you're just going to have to study the rest of chapter 11 on your own, because we're going to move on next week. Okay, so let's just read this, get our mind around it, get my mind around it, and then we're going to get rolling. If I bend down, it's not because I want to get a better look at you. That's the only clock that I've got. So anyway, all right, so let's Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. It says, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, 'Go to, let us make brick, and burn them thoroughly.' And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar." These guys are pretty smart, pretty ingenuitive, right? They're getting it done. "And they said, 'Go to, let us build us a city in a tower, whose top may reach into heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad the face of the whole earth.' And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men had builded." Because he didn't really know what was going on, so he had to come down. I got to see this thing with my own eyes, right? "And the Lord said, 'Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do." They didn't finish it. Remember that. "They begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them upon the face of the earth." Right? So, before we even get going, what was God's command? We looked at it last week. What did God tell these guys to do, right? Because a lot of things in the Bible, you can just go back to what did God tell you to do and figure out where they screwed up, where they went wrong. So what exactly did God tell them to do? We looked at it last week. He even told them twice, right? He's like, "Hey, I want you to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. I need you to make some babies, make some people, and populate the earth. Not as one city, not as one group, but I need you to scatter abroad the face of the earth. That is your command. This is what you're supposed to do, right? That's my command." So when you get to chapter 11, we're approximately 100 years after the covenant that God made with Noah and his sons that we saw last week, right? So if you want to know how I got that, I can tell you. But so we're about 100 years after. I would have never known this. I heard it preached, and then I was able to go and see what he was talking about, right? So, but we're about 100 years past, because some people will be like, "Well, we're thousands of years later." No, we're not. And just real quick, I'll show you how I knew this, right? So let me find it. If you go back to chapter 10, which I just got done telling you was full of nothing good other than names, go to verse, let me find it, 25. "So unto Eber were born two sons." Genesis chapter 10, verse 25. Two sons. The name of the one was Peleg, "for in his days the earth was divided." Well, there's only one thing at this time that divided the earth, because they were all one and God scattered them. He's talking about this right here. This kind of goes with what we were talking about earlier, Abby. Sometimes chapters overlap in what's going on, and he's describing more of what's going on, right? And chapter 10 actually happened the same time as chapter 11. So he's talking about all these names, and it's not like all this happened and then chapter 11 happened. This is chapter 10 is a lot more detail of what's going on. So anyway, if you go on towards later in chapter 11, I'm not trying to bore you, but just for somebody who's like, "Well, how do you know it was 100 years later?" It's close to that, right? So if you go towards starting in verse 10, it talks about Shem's line, and you can trace down to Peleg, and it's like 101 years later. You can do the math if you want to. So anyway, it's about 100 years later, just so nobody's questioning it. So we're about 100 years after they get off the boat, right? So God commanded them to do what? To reproduce the earth, to fill it, to scatter. Right? Genesis 9:1. We read it. At this time, it says in verse 1, at this time there was one language and one speech. Why do you think God said? Well, I don't really think that God was like reiterating himself. There was one language and one speech. What? Why does he say there's one language and one speech?
Genesis 10.
Yeah.
And 8. Verse 8. Mm-hmm. And Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it was said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calmai, and the land of Shinar. Blah, blah, blah. But it's because everyone condensed together, speaking one language, one man has become too powerful. That's why
there's going to be a start of more sin.
We're getting there. Yeah. You like totally just stole like the strike of lightning and the thunder that goes with it. But so anyway, yes. Yes. Nimrod, if you want to fast forward, Nimrod is the mastermind behind what's going on here, right? Nimrod's the mastermind of what's going on. So anyway, he says one language and one speech because they're not the same thing. That's what he's talking about, right? He says there's one language and one speech. They're not the same thing. There's a lot of nations in the world that use the English language, right? And we're going to talk about English because that's what is normal to us, right? There are a lot of nations that use English as their primary language, but each has their own accent. Shoot, you can go to the East Coast where Chris is from, and I don't understand half of the words these guys are saying, right? They've all got their own accent. Or shoot, you go to a different country, and a lot of times the words are different, right? I remember Brian Clark telling me a story about one of the first times he was in London, and he was up preaching, and he was talking about how he got his pants wet, and this, that, and the other, and everybody's like all of a sudden blushing, and they're like, what's... Well, because these are jeans when you go to Europe. These are not pants. Pants are what you wear under your jeans. So when he's up there preaching about his pants being wet, these people are like, what in the world is he talking about, right? So that's what he's talking about when he says they're not only of one speech, right, but they're of one language. Everything that they say is the same. They're not even like even today where some of our English language is a little bit different. Everything that they've got going on, right, is one language. That's how they were. They were one language, right? They're not the same thing. Think about it for a minute. How much simpler would the world be if everyone spoke the same language? It would probably be a lot simpler.
I think actually Jesus would
be better. Right, because that's coming. We're going to get there too. You guys are really reading ahead now. But in our minds, it'd be a lot simpler, right? If I could just understand what the people are saying when I go to India, man, it'd be a lot easier, right? Or if I could just understand what this guy's saying or that guy's saying, wouldn't it be a lot easier? That's what we like to think, right? It'd be a lot easier. So roll into verse 2, right? And it says, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and they dwelt there, right? And so up until verse 2, you really don't see a whole lot with what's going on. You think about Genesis chapter 11 and like, oh, these guys got it all jacked up, right? Well, at the beginning of the story, I don't see a lot what's happening. You don't see anything wrong with what's going on with the people. It says they were journeying from the east. So actually, at this point, they were obeying the command of God, right? They're moving along, making babies as they go, replenishing the earth. You know, some people are settling here. Some people are establishing themselves on the earth. They're not staying in one group. They're doing what they're told to be doing. Be fruitful, multiply, and disperse to fill the earth, right? At this point, they decide to stop for a while in the land of Shinar, right? Just a side note, this is the Shinar. That's the area of the original Garden of Eden, right? So it's probably a pretty nice area, right? I think we're going to camp here for a few days. I think we're going to hang out for a while, right? Up until this point, you don't see anything wrong with what has happened, right? Not really. All that we read is that they're doing what they're commanded to do, right? But here's what I want you to see. Because these guys are right on track with what God told them to do. They feel like they are cruising along. They're in the will of God. Everything is going along. I want you to see how quickly things can go wrong when you're not 100% walking with God, when you're not 100% in the will of God, if you're just, if you ever let your guard down just for a second and think, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, right? This is how quickly things can go wrong, right? Sometimes as Christians, and I say Christians because I don't want to just say the world, I'm talking about us. Sometimes as Christians, it's when we think that we're completely in the will of God that we let our guard down, and the adversary will plant a seed of doubt. And before you know it, you're following a man, or you're building a kingdom, or you're building a tower, or you're worshiping a golden calf, or who knows what's going on, right? It's the times that you think you got it all figured out. And I'm doing what God told me to do. And you let your guard down just for a second. And the next thing you know, there's a golden calf. Or you're building a tower. Or, I mean, you guys know the deal. The people here probably thought that they had to... The people here probably thought they had this reproduce and refill the earth thing down, right? So that's when they slowly let their guard down. As soon as you become comfortable in what you think God's telling you to do, I need to go to work and provide for my family. All right, I got this thing down. I'm going to go. You know, it's when things become redundant, repetition, right? I'm going to stay home and teach my kids every day. I'm going to go to church and minister. You know, it's when things become repetitive and redundant that all of a sudden the devil's right in the middle of what you got going on and you never even saw it happening, right? You've always got to be in the Word all the time, right? They thought they had this thing down to a science. All right, I need to reproduce and spread out. We got this, right? But then you get to verse 3. Verse 3, it says, and they said one to another. You don't have to go any farther. And they said one to another, murmur, murmur, murmur. The people began to murmur against what God had given them to do, right? He says, and they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar, right? What do you usually see when people want to go away from the social norm? When somebody wants to start a new trend, right? When somebody wants to get something going. Usually it takes one leader and everybody wants to jump in behind them, right? Usually when somebody's like, I don't like the way things are going. And I'm gonna do something about it. Whether it's in the church, in the world, in society, whatever it is, somebody decides they're gonna be the guy, right? And like Chris talked about earlier, if you want to know who the guy was, you can go back to chapter 4 and you read about Nimrod and his kingdom in Shinar, right? Nimrod's probably the guy. I can't say that for a certainty, but I'm just gonna guess by what I've got given right here in the word. Nimrod's probably the guy, right? This person begins to murmur about how they don't like the way things are going on, how they could probably do it a whole lot better. Then they begin to try to get people to see all the bad things that are going on, right? So that they'll begin to complain and murmur with them, right? It's really easy to get people to follow you. You point out all the things that you don't like and how you could do it better, and it's like, oh, okay, well, let's do that then. It's really simple. You see it in politics in America. That's why we go back and forth all the time. Well, I'm going to do it different. I'm going to do it. That's just the way it is, right? Before you know it, you have a group or even a crowd of people who think if they had the power, things would be so much better, right? James 3, 5, and 6 says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. It just takes a little bit. A little bit. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So the tongue is among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the courts of nature. And it is set on fire of hell, right? In verse 3, you begin to kind of see what's going on here. God never told them to... I didn't read anywhere where God told them, hey, I want you to stop, camp out here for a little bit, and build me a memorial. There's a lot of times in the Bible that God does say, hey, stop. I was reading in Joshua yesterday. They crossed the Jordan, and he's like, hey, by the way, as you're crossing, each of you grab a stone. We're going to build a memorial when we get through here, right? There's a lot of times God does say, this is what I want you to do. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't say, hey, this is what I need you to do.
Brick sounds pretty permanent.
Brick sounds pretty permanent. I don't think this was a temporary type of deal. God never told them to stop and build anything. They were dispersed and multiply and replenish the earth. That's the only direction they were given. Get out of here. Multiply, replenish the earth. Remember what just happened about 100 years ago? We flooded this thing. Why would you want that to happen again? I mean, obviously it's not going to happen again, but if God's like, he did clarify, I'm not going to flood it with water. So I'm sure God can do a whole lot of different things. In this case, the leader that starts the problem is probably Nimrod. Go back. Chris read it for us just a few minutes ago. Chapter 10, starting in verse 8. And it says, "And Cush begat Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel." Right? At the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. Right? That's the beginning of what he had going on. If you want to know a lot about Babel, this turns into Babylon, right? Later on in your Old Testament. There's not a lot of good things that came out of Babylon, right? Nimrod's the leader of this thing. And it's the beginning of his kingdom. It doesn't say anything about God's kingdom. It's the beginning of his kingdom. He decides that he wants to stop and establish a city for a monument of their pride and reputation. We've got this thing figured out, right? We've got this thing going on. Here's something to think about, because I was like Mark, because Mark was the only one who answered. When I read this story before, these guys are trying to build up to heaven, right? They're going to work their way to God, because that was always my mindset. They were going... I thought the heart of the issue in Genesis chapter 11 was the fact that these guys wanted to work their way to God. They were going to be like me. They could build anything. They're going to make themselves bricks. They're going to make themselves mortar. They're going to build their way all the way up there. That's not the issue at all. That's not the issue. The tower is not the problem. It's part of the problem, but it's not the problem. The problem is the sudden rebellion of the people to go against what they were told to do and to do things their way for a while. The problem is rebellion. The problem is, I don't really want to do things God's way anymore. I want to do things my way. I want to try it this way. I don't really want to get in the Word today. I don't really want to go to church this week. I don't really want to love my neighbor. I don't really want to share the gospel. I'm going to try to do it this way. That's not the way it works, guys. The tower is not the problem. It's part of it, but it's not the problem. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, it's not, what they're doing is not that bad. They're building a little tower. Give them a break. That's usually how every sin starts, right? It's not really that bad. And before you know it, you're so lost in sin, you don't even know how you got there. Before you know it, what wasn't really that bad was, that's in the rearview mirror, because you're so caught up in something way worse that, how did you get there? Well, it wasn't that bad. That's how you got there. Think about your life for a minute. Right? Because I know we can read out of Genesis chapter 11 all day, but you guys are like, hey, it got nothing to do with me. Think about your life for a minute. How often do you think that it's not really that bad? And before you know it, you got a sin issue on your hands. Before you know it, you're like, dang, what just happened? Before you know it, your kids are way farther along than they should have been in something. What really wasn't that bad was all of it. You got to call sin for what it is. It's sin. And you got to deal with it. That's why it's so important to be in the Word daily, renewing your mind daily. Because if you don't, what's the song say? We're prone to wander. Right? That's where we are. That's the way we are wired. Right? We're made that way. To do things that we're not supposed to do. It's not natural for us to just be good people. It's natural for us to be wicked. To be bad. We have to train ourselves. We cannot try. And what are we going to be? Wicked. We have to really try to train ourselves to discipline ourselves to be godly, to be holy, you have to work at that. That doesn't just happen. You don't just wake up one day and, well, I just didn't want to sin today, so I'm holy today. It doesn't work like that. So let me ask you a question. Why do you think what they're doing was so wrong? I mean, what they're doing right here. Right here in the story, they're building a tower in a city. What's so wrong about that in God's eyes? Give me something. Just...
God's trying to build his kingdom, and they're building their own.
Are you talking about the actual act?
Yeah, the actual act. No, right now, just the actual act. What's so wrong with what they're doing?
I don't think the actual act there is anything wrong.
Well, if they're doing it
for
themselves.
Well, there's the motivation. They're building a city because, you know what? God, as we replenish the earth, they were building cities all along. Otherwise, we'd be in tents. Right? I don't think the issue is that they built it. What the issue was, lest we be scattered. They're going, no, we're not going. So what's the motivation behind that, I think?
I mean,
the act of building the city,
Building a city, I don't know, given it's a matter of, they weren't told to do that, but building is fine, and, you know, getting married is fine, but it's not fine to get married, it's not fine to get married, no, I would agree with that, you know what I mean, at this point they're building what they're good intention, not obedience. Was their own good intention.
No, that's right. That was my point. The motivation behind it was they were saying, no, we're not going to do what God said.
I think if you boil it down, I mean, you can really get into those kinds of things and whether they're building cities and what. And obviously, they're living somewhere. God's telling them to scatter. He doesn't want them in one group all the time. I need you to populate this earth. You're not going to populate the earth as one group in one place, right?
But in scattering, they're going to stay.
Yeah.
Right.
I think if you boil it down, the issue at hand is disobedience. Just simple disobedience.
The fourth verse where they say, we're going to build this tower so tall that it may reach unto heaven, let us make a name in case we're scattered abroad. So wherever we are on the whole face of the earth, we can come back. That's kind of the first indication where we're going to stay here. And if we go wander out too far, we're going to come right back in here. Kind of
like
might not scatter.
God, like trying to create a backup plan, and it takes
God. We're getting there. I think if you boil it down, I think if you boil it down, it's simple disobedience. No other real reason is needed for what they're doing is wrong. It's disobedient. God didn't tell them to do that. So here's another question then. Why do you think it's so important to God to establish nations, different cultures, instead of just letting everybody post-flood stay as one huge nation or tribe, or what? Why is it so important? You got any reasons? Why is it so important that everybody doesn't just follow one leader through the entire world?
All your eggs in one basket.
All your eggs in one basket.
What if that one leader fails?
Right.
Huh. So what if everybody was in one tribe, one following one guy, and that one guy was Hitler?
I was just
going to
say, what about the Nazis?
I mean,
yeah.
There's a reason that different leaders rise and fall, right? But if it wasn't for the United States and its allies, Hitler wouldn't have been stopped, right? It took the logic thinking of a different nation to stop something like that, because... Right, I heard in a sermon, and I don't really have time to get into it, but in World War II there was a nation, I can't remember the name of it, in between Russia and Germany, and because Germany, they kind of made a deal under the table with Russia that we're not going to mess with you, you don't mess with us, we're doing our own thing over here, right? And so Hitler's out there trying to take over Europe. And killing all the Jews as he does it, this, that, and the other. And there's this little buffer zone, this little country. I can't remember the name of it. So these people, they were never under... Because the thought behind it was it's the propaganda, right? It was Hitler's propaganda that made people... Maybe it wasn't the people that were so wicked, it was Hitler. And it was his propaganda. So anyway, people are naturally wicked. Just so you know, that's the way they are. So Hitler, because he's Hitler and he doesn't ever follow the rules of his own agreements, he decides, you know what, forget it, I'm going after Russia too. Right? So he turns and they go through this little country. And in this country there are Jews and Germans living there peacefully through the entire World War. No issues at all. Because, you know, they didn't have the propaganda to tell them that it was... Right? And so they go through... And so what happens in this little nation city? I can't remember exactly how it worked, but anyway, within 2 weeks, all the Jews were killed, and they weren't killed by a single German soldier. They were simply told that it was okay to do it. They were simply told it's okay to kill the Jews.
The Germans in that location.
Yeah, the Germans in this location. It was okay to do that. Well, they could have been like, no, it's not okay. We live with these people. But they got to thinking, now wait a minute. If we just kill off all the Jews, we can have all their stuff. We can have all their... Man's heart is naturally wicked. It's not the leader or the propaganda or anything else. If you tell people that it's okay to go do whatever you want, they're going to go do whatever they want. Right? That's natural. That's the way we're wired. We are naturally wicked people without God. That's the way that we are. Right? That's why God wants different nations. You kind of govern yourself. You don't let somebody get too far out of line, right? There's coming a day when everybody wants one world government and one world religion. And we'll get to that at the end. You know how that ends up, right? Okay, so verse 4. Because you guys keep getting ahead. And they said, "Go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven, and let us make a name lest we be scattered abroad the face of the whole earth." Right? All right, so let's get into this. And as I go through this, I want to show you what's going on here, but I also want to show you what's going on in our hearts, because this is what happens, right? In verse 4, you can really start to see the rebellion starting to take place, right? Nimrod and the people, because it's not just him, it's the people. There was a whole lot more people than there were Nimrod. So if they really didn't want to follow, they didn't have to. Nimrod and the people, they want a city. They want three things. They want a city, they want a tower, and they want a name. Right there out of the text. They want a city, they want a tower, and they want a name. Right? So first, they want a city. Why do they want a city? They decided that God's way was no longer good enough, and that they're going to build a city for everybody to live in. You know what? We're just going to gather right here. Pretty good area. Shinar. We're just going to hang out here. Let's build us a city. The people were tired of traveling, tired of dispersing, so they decided this is as far as they're going to go. We're all going to live here from now on because that's what we want to do. In essence, what they are saying is that this is where my kingdom will be established. And we'll build it however we want. And we don't need God to do it. I'm going to build my kingdom right here. Nimrod says, "You know what? I'm just going to do it right here. It's a good area. It's the best one we've come across so far. Let's just do it right here." You can either follow God, who you can't see, or you can follow me, Nimrod, the mighty hunter. Read about the chapter before. And we'll just build it right here. Okay, we'll follow you. Right? We'll just follow you. In our lives, we do the same thing. We decide that we really don't like the way God wants us to live our lives. I think the Bible's outdated, and I don't really like that. So we begin to build our own kingdom exactly the way we want it. And believe it or not, sometimes that kingdom even involves coming to church. Sometimes that kingdom even involves you coming to church every week, being a Christian. Called Christian. That's what we do. We no longer care for the details that God's given us to live our lives by, and now we simply live by our own set of rules. And as long as we're not as bad as the next guy, then we'll be fine. As long as I'm not doing what that guy's doing, as long as I'm not doing what that... as long as we're not... Don't compare yourselves with yourselves. It is not wise. We completely take God out of the equation, right? We completely take God out of... God's given us this. This is what I need you to do. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. That's the same thing we've got to do. We've got to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth with baby Christians. And we decide, you know what? I just don't really want to do that. So instead, I'm going to do things my way. I'm going to build my own kingdom right here. Just like the people in Babel, we begin to build our city. Or in better terms, our own kingdom. And generally, God's nowhere to be found in it. God's nowhere to be found. We build our own kingdom right here. And we may throw church in the mix. We may throw Jesus in the mix. But you're not doing what God wants you to do. You're building your own kingdom. All right, so that's first. They want a city. Second, they wanted a tower. It says they want a tower whose top may reach into heaven. Whose top may reach into heaven. The people wanted a memorial of how great they were. They wanted a memorial of how great they were. Obviously, I don't really think they planned on building a tower that would get them to God. I don't really think that they planned on building bricks. I mean, the foundation of something. I mean, it's just not... You're talking through space, through... You're not going to build a tower that's going to get you to the third heaven. I don't think that's what's going on. Instead, they were after a tower that reached into the heaven, the first heaven, where the birds fly. So they could commune with the little g gods of this world, right? The little g. This shows that as early as Genesis chapter 11, the world's already full of idolatry. It's full of it. The world's full of their own way, their own little gods. It's kind of like what Chris was talking about earlier, right? It's already full of a tower that gets them into the heavens, right? It's their pathway to the gods of this world, right? The gods of this world. A side note, because I don't think I got it in my notes later. When God disperses this thing, right? He comes down and confounds the languages, and they do have to disperse because nobody understands anything. All the false religions in the world can be traced back to Babylon. All the false religions in the world can be traced back to Babylon. Back to Babel. Everybody took their own little bit of the gods of this world that they were worshiping. And when God confounded the language, they all took that little god with them. You got Hinduism, you got Buddhism, you got Catholicism, you got all that. It all can be traced back to one. They all just took the little bit that they knew, the little god that they knew, and the little tower that they built, straight out on Babylon, and their own language, and that's what they got. All the false religions of the world, right back to here. That's where it comes from. The tower would be the way that people could have communication with the gods, the little g's that they worshipped. You know what? You can still see things like this in some Asian countries today. You go to India or Nepal or, you know, probably other places. There's places that I've seen. And they got these little temples and they're burning incense and they're communicating with these. That's what this thing was. It was their temple that they were communicating with the gods with, right? Think about this for a minute. These people are about 100 years post-flood, right? 100 years post-flood. So generally speaking, the people who had first-hand account of the flood, Noah's sons, these guys are probably still alive. Even maybe Noah's sons, you know, but they dad told me about God flooding the world. But yet they still don't care enough to be like, I'm going to follow this guy. I'm going to follow the true God. How quickly we are prone to wonder, to go. They'd already forgotten and moved on from the true God, right? Sometimes in our lives, we think that it's okay because we would never fall into this or fall into that because, well, I'm not ever going to do that. Or I'm not... Be careful, because as soon as you think that, I'm too holy for that kind of thing, but that's generally the attitude you have right before you fall. That's generally the attitude you have is that'll never happen to me. Right? That'll never happen to me. Just like in battle, we begin to build our kingdom. Right? And then we build our tower. Your tower may be in the form of... It may not be in the form of a monument like they had, but we're always striving to build something for people to see. That way when they see it, they think of me. Right? That's what we do. Whether it's your work in the ministry. Oh, so you're throwing church into this. Whether it's your work in the ministry, your community service, your job title, your house, your barn, your nice things, your fancy car, your whatever it is, we're always working to build our tower. In other words, what we want people to remember us for. That's what we're doing. We're no better than they are.
What about a symbolism when a Catholic church changes pope? There's got hundreds of thousands of people gathered to see when the smoke comes out the top of that tower.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah. Right? A lot of these things are not bad. But let me ask you a question. Why can't we simply be remembered for loving God and giving our lives to Him? That's what I remember that person for. Why do we always have to one-up the next guy? Why can't our tower simply be our obedience to doing exactly what God told us to be? To do. All right. So third, we got to get rolling. So third, they wanted a city, they wanted a tower, and they wanted to make a name for themselves. Right? The people in Babel no longer wanted the name of God, but instead they wanted a name for themselves. They wanted to show how great they were, and they wanted people to know them for it. Right? Nimrod's like, you're going to remember me for this. What they're doing was not just a little against the grain of what God wanted them to do; it was outright rebellion. They're going to do whatever they wanted to do, and they didn't care what God or anybody else thought about it. They were going to do it. Sound familiar? We're the same way. We live in a society where we're dependent on how many friends, air quote friends, with our name on a screen, right? We're building a name for ourselves. Because be real, nobody's got 500 friends or however many, right? We're building a name for ourselves. We desire people to know us for our name, not for who we truly are. We can post, snap, or tweet. I don't even know what snap is, but we can post, snap, or tweet our way into a perfect life that everybody wants. But in reality, those are mere moments of a life of ours that nobody gets to see, right? Your name is established with the few things you post or tweet or snap or this, that, or the other. Shoot, if people only looked at that, the only thing that Paige and I ever do is go on vacation, right? Because that's like the only time that anything's ever posted, right? Yeah. So, but we're building our name for ourselves, right? That's what people, we're building a name for ourselves. We simply want to make our name, just like the people in Babel did. What the people in Babel wanted, in essence, was exactly what the people today still want. They want a city, they want a tower, and they want a name. What the people were wanting was not to be scattered anymore, right? They thought their one-world tribe was the way to go, and they didn't care what God wanted, right? They didn't want to be scattered. At the end of verse 4, it says they're going to build go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. And let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad the face of the earth. But we're going to do this so we don't have to be scattered. We don't want to be scattered. We're not going to be scattered, so we're going to do this instead. That's exactly what the world we live in today wants. They want a one-world government with a one-world religion. And very soon, that's what they're going to get. And then Antichrist is going to set himself on the throne. And when everybody realizes what just happened, it's too late. They got exactly what they wanted. And then it's like, whoa, that's not what I wanted. Well, that's what you asked for. That's what's going to happen. Just like in Babel, right? We live in a world where history repeats itself, right? What does it say in Ecclesiastes? There's nothing new under the sun. Genesis chapter 11, this is already working out, right? The beginning and the end. The people in Babel were just like we are in today's society. They're rebellious at heart, right? All right, so real quick. See how much time we got. All right, real quick, in 3 minutes. So this is God's reaction to the whole thing, right? God's going to accomplish His mission with or without you. Remember that. God's going to accomplish His mission with or without you. One way or the other, at the end of the day, God wins. So verse 5, right? And the Lord came down. No matter how high we build, God's still got to come down to see us. No matter how big our kingdom gets, God's still got to come down to get to our level. It says, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men build. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. And they have all one language, and they begin to do, and now nothing will restrain from them, which they have imagined to do. God's like, hey, these guys are anything that they imagine they're going to do. You know, whatever's right in their own eyes, that's what's going to happen. Verse 7, go to, let us go down. It must mean there's more than one God. Or there's a Trinity, something. It's a different study for a different day. Go to, let us go down. And there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. What better way to get these people to disperse? If I can't understand you, I'm no longer going to talk to you. He confounds the language. He splits them up. Just like I said before, if you're split up and I don't understand the next guy, you're going to move away. God's going to get He's going to accomplish His mission one way or the other. That's just the way it happens, right? That's the way that it happens. And so the people take a little bit of their false religion with them, and it all traces back to Babylon, right? So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore, the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of the earth, and from thence did all the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the earth. Right? It had nothing to do with the tower they were building, guys. They weren't building. They weren't working their way to heaven, like I always had in my mind that they were trying to do. They were rebellious at heart, and they wanted the world to. They wanted to build their own kingdom right here, and they didn't really care how God wanted them to do it. This is how they were going to do it. And if we can't see the picture of that in our own society, in our own world, in our own lives, then we're missing what God's trying to show us here, right? God didn't leave this in here for a good story for us to know what happened years ago. He's trying, you know, He preserved this so we would have this to see and say, huh, what does this have to do with me? How does this affect me? And if we can't learn from it, then we're totally missing the boat. I mean, we totally just went over our head. Because this is what God's... He's trying to show you that if we can't learn from what these guys did, if we can't see that obedience to God instead of rebellion is the way to go, then we're no better than Nimrod and the crew in Babel, right? We're not anything different, right? And so the rest of the chapter... I'm trying to scroll on my Bible. Sorry.
Different languages, the language confounded.
It says at the beginning of the chapter that the whole earth was of one language and one speech. That's how they were, right? And so this is where the different nations came from. They couldn't do it themselves, so God did it for them, right? And so the rest of the chapter, it gets into Shem's line down to Abram, right? So we've basically spent 11 chapters to get where we are, and then we're going to spend the next 12 or so on one dude, right? So we're going to get into the life of Abraham. So you can read that. I'm not going to spend any time on it. So that's what I wanted to show you today, guys, because that's what we do. We want to build a city, we want to build a tower, and we want to build a name. And you know what? If the name that we're building isn't Jesus, then we're off track. All right? So let's pray and let's get out of here. On time, 10:15. Father God, Lord, I love you. I thank you for today. I thank you for your word, God. It's just really awesome to see that it doesn't matter how many times you read something, how many times you study something, you've still got more there, God. And I just pray that you just continue to reveal your word to us daily, Lord. I pray that even just some of the stuff that you revealed to me this week was able to be shown today, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you just send us out this week as lights in a dark world, Lord. I pray for Lauren, who's just getting it done in India weekend and week out, Lord, is just a living epistle. And I just pray that we just continue to get behind her, Lord, and the things that she's got going on, Lord. We pray for some Brad and Annie and the church plant in Clinton. And I pray that you just magnify your word, whether it be here or halfway around the world, Lord. And I just thank you for counting us just willing to be a part of it. Lord, I love you and thank you and pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Thanks, guys.
Lauren.
Oh, hang on. Paige's got something to say about Lauren. So.
Message last night and asked Pastor